Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
You are what you eat. You are what you eat, and you're even what you eat. Here's a clue, why don't you take a peek beneath your feet?
Welcome to Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land on which we live. This morning I'm joined by filmmaker Jordan Osmond of Happen Films, and now in a new venture called Folklore Pictures. Jordan makes beautifully shot films that tell stories of people responding to a world and political and ecological crisis by opting out of the dominant system and living closer to nature. Some of the people that Jordan's made films about are people that have been on the show, such as Meg Ullman and Patrick Jones from Daylesford, and Kat Lavers from inner Melbourne, one of the inner suburbs of Melbourne. So Jordan, just would you just start us off, please, by just telling us why did it make sense to you to make films about these people?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Anne. For me, I think storytelling is really powerful, and I initially felt that as a viewer. I fell in love with watching documentaries, and that really inspired me to want to make them.
Mm-hmm.
And this was kind of when I was around 16, 17. I was watching all these films that were opening my mind to what was going on in the world and also making me aware of a lot of the issues that we're facing. And I just found them so powerful. Films like Food Inc., about the food system, and films about the economy, and yeah, these kind of interconnected issues were all being pieced together for me through watching these films.
Are you talking people like Mike Moore and those?
Yeah. Michael Moore was a big inspiration. Yeah, I remember, I think it was after watching maybe Fahrenheit 9/11, I was just thinking, I want to be a documentary maker. I was just so impacted by that and kind of horrified as well.
Yep.
Yeah, so definitely Michael Moore, and yeah, a lot of those films had a really big effect on me, I think, in shaping my worldview as I was leaving high school and thinking what did I want to do with my life and how did I want to live, and being a bit disillusioned with, I'd never really wanted to go to university, get a high paying job, kind of live I don't know, a normal life like that, for whatever reason. And I suppose a lot of these films and the research I was doing kind of confirmed my feeling of, oh, I don't want to go down that path. And so I suppose there's been a dual journey of the filmmaking, but also how I am living personally over the time of making these films, because I've been personally impacted by everyone I've filmed with. And it's been such a pleasure and a privilege to just be able to hang out with these incredible people and almost have a firsthand education in permaculture, in a lot of these issues. Like the first film I worked on was called A Simpler Way.
Yep.
And that's up on YouTube. It's a feature-length film that I made with Sam Alexander, who is a professor at the University of Melbourne. And that project was started by Sam and I, and Antoinette later joined that project as part of the writing team. And yeah, I remember we were interviewing people who I'd never heard of at the time, like David Holmgren, the co-originator of permaculture, Nicole Foss, Helena Norberg-Hodge, All these like big names that I was new to, but I got to sit in the room and hear these incredible things they were sharing, and that was shaping my thinking as well. So at the heart of it, I think storytelling is just a really essential thing to being human, whether it's films or books or oral traditions, you know. It's just how we make sense of the world, and it's how we can form a medium for relating to each other and kind of navigating life. And so I love the art form as well. I love the documentary form. It just the visual, the combination of visuals, music, it's real life. It's yeah, I love the art as well as the, I suppose, the message underlying what I do. So I suppose that's the heart of it, is just the seeing the power in storytelling and wanting to be a part of that.
So much I could talk about there. The political power is even important, isn't it? Because I just when you were talking there, I was thinking about Donald Trump, who we will not go into detail about, but I think his success is he's somehow managing to tell some kind of story that seems to make sense to people.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
To a certain group of people. So it's like that's the only way, that's probably the best one of the ways to, if we're going to change things, we're going to have to tell stories that make sense to people, for them to join in on that change. But yeah, but I'll just go back to what you're saying about the films being beautiful. That's what that is really striking, and I urge anyone to go and just go to Happen Films, and you can watch these films free. We'll come back to that too. Jordan, the films, there's a lot of attention paid to the beauty of the films, the color, the way you shoot people sitting around a fire, or there's always a sort of a, I don't know, I haven't got film jargon, but a panoramic shot of their place in nature where their house is situated. So you and I think you even use the word beauty quite a lot in your on your website, etc. Well, why is that important to the storytelling, do you think? Or is it just an aesthetic? It's just you, or
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's just my it's kind of how I see the world, and that's reflected in how I choose to film a subject. But I think it's also if it's part of that storytelling, because if the film is well packaged and is, you know, it's enjoyable to watch, I think that's part of that connection. If the sound isn't very good, or it's out of focus, or these things kind of all detract from the story and being able to fully engage with it. And so it's partly it's, you know, removing those barriers to connection, because that's the ultimate part. That's the point of the story, is to connect. And so you don't want to be thinking about the editing or the or in particular, you know, anything like
Something
that, the technical
jarring.
stuff. Yeah, you don't want anything jarring. And so that's part of it, is just I really take pride in trying to make the best thing possible, the in terms of the craft. But I think it's also a reflection of just how I see things. Like so many of these places and people I visit, I find how they live so beautiful, and I can't help but document them in that way, because it's kind of how I see things. Yeah.
And it's how that if you weren't capturing the beauty of those places and people, then you wouldn't be telling the real story. It's part of
Yeah.
them, isn't it? So let's go back to these people. Can you talk about some of the big, did you have aha moments or to what did you learn from them?
Yeah, I think so. With Happen Films, we made 35 short films and 3 feature-length films. So that's a lot of people, and like every person we filmed with, I learned something from. And there are, of course, there are standouts of where I was kind of blown away, or it, how I saw things shifted, or my understanding deepened. And one of those, well, there are a few of them. One of them is Robin and Robert Guyton, who live at the bottom of the South Island in New Zealand, and they have a, oh, it's probably now a 30-year-old. Actually, it's as old as I am, so it must be a 31-year-old food forest now. And that was the first time I'd ever been in a food forest or even really engaged with the concept. And that really stuck with me, just seeing what people can do and how we can essentially build ecosystems that are a lot more in harmony with human systems, and how we can kind of live in an ecology that we've created. And just seeing the amount of food coming from that, and the shelter, and the wildlife, the insect life in that, the concept just really, I don't know, touched something deep within me, and was like, and I from that point, I was like, one day I want to have my own food forest. And I think it's just a concept that I'm still very excited about. And there are variations on that same idea, like syntropic farming and agroforestry, and there's a lot of variations on the same thing of essentially how do we create perennial systems. And I think that's a really exciting thing that I'd like to explore more of in coming films. But I just, yeah, that was a standout, as well as Artist's Family, Meg and Patrick, who live in Daylesford. We made three short films with them, and the most recent feature film, The New Peasants, was about their family. So a lot of filming has been done with them, and they're great friends of mine as well. As a result of the filming, I didn't know them before that first film, Creatures of Place, was shot in 2017. But they have always been, and still are, a real guiding light in how I want to live more like. I don't want to emulate them, but there's a lot of how they're connecting with nature, with their community, with their processes of life, how they support themselves. There's a real radicalness there that I'm really drawn to, and I've drawn a lot of inspiration from them over the years, and still do.
There's something very uncompromising about how they live. They really got the principles front and center, and everything's measured against the values before it's done, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
And congratulations on that film. That's a really beautiful film.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really proud of it. I think it's the best film that we've created. Yeah, I feel really proud of it.
And you, I think Meg told me that you stayed with them for 6 months making that film.
I didn't move there to make the film. I moved there because I wanted to live in Daylesford, and they offered me a little cabin on their property. And then out of that, the idea to do another short film came about. And then it evolved into a feature film because it was such a great situation of me living there that I didn't have to have a 3-day planned shoot where we crammed everything in and just did like little bits of it. They could come and knock on my door and say, "Hey, we're doing this," and I could just pick up my camera and go film it. And there was a lot of footage shot. I think it was 65 hours in total that was cut down into an hour-long film. And it was a really, yeah, it was a product of that unique living situation of being able to be there on the property. And part of my rent, I paid $50 a week, and I did one day's work with them on a Friday, doing whatever it might be, fencing for the goats, or weeding the garden, or harvesting things. So I felt like I was a real part of the household, which was really nice, and that helped me in directing the film and deciding what direction to take, because they do so much, and their story could, is really broad. It could have been a much kind of bigger film. To try and narrow that down, I think, was one of the challenges. But yeah, I feel really lucky that they were keen to be in front of the camera again and really, yeah, go deeper with this hour-long film, The New Peasants. Yeah.
Like so many community organizations, we need your continued financial support to keep 3CR on air and our community connected and strong.
Consider selecting Auto Renew for your subscription so your subscription keeps rolling on every year.
We love the security of knowing we have your support into the future.
head to 3cr.org.au or call 9419 8377 and remember to select recurring for your annual subscription.
This is the Local Food Connection show on 3CR 855 kHz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. And you can go and look at one of our many podcasts of people telling stories about how they're trying to live differently in the world. Today I'm chatting with Jordan Osmond of Happen Films and Folklore Pictures. Just before the break, Jordan, you talked about the dual path that you're on of making beautiful films and consciously trying to change the world to some extent and by those films. What about your own choices as a just living on the earth? What are you doing?
Yeah. I really enjoy talking about this because for me, storytelling is just one thing that I want to do. It's not the only thing. I don't spend, 7 days a week doing it. A real part of how I want to be living is trying to live as many of the values that these films share as I can. And my partner and I here do a lot of these things that we we live in a way that is much more connected than I suppose how we grew up. And we do, we're living in a tiny house on a property that we share with my parents, and we've got quite a big veggie garden, and trying to live as, thinking about our impacts and living simply, all these things. And this has evolved over what now 11 years of making films, kind of bit by bit learning more and learning to grow a bit of food, and then, kind of being on that path over time has just kind of deepened my knowledge and the direction of things that I want to take. It started out probably with the first thing I did was just eating some organic food after watching Food Inc. and learning about the food system. And now over the course of that time, we're growing a lot of food here. I'm learning to hunt as well because I do eat meat, and I feel like I want to have a connection with that and not be a part of the industrial meat system. And so that's a journey I'm on at the moment, which has been really rewarding. And that feels really important to have that, hands in the soil experience to help inform the filmmaking as well. It's part of why I love people like Megan Patrick and David Holmgren and Sue Dennett, who they do, write and put things out there in the world in kind of theory, but they're also living it.
Yeah.
And I think if you don't have that kind of lived experience, like there's something missing from the work that you put out into the world potentially. Well, yeah. I know that because I kind of wouldn't know what I would want to focus on or what stories I want to tell. I suppose I'm excited by telling stories that I'm actively, interested in a practical sense. So like right now I'm interested. I want to do some films about energy and kind of appropriate technology, alternative energy. I was thinking about this before the war in Iran started and fuel prices went up, but now it feels even more relevant of just thinking about energy systems and what that looks like when you're approaching it from more an appropriate technology stance. And because that's some things I want to do here. I want to build a rocket stove. I want to, be thinking about energy sources and doing that more sustainably and locally. So I just feel like they're kind of hand in hand, the storytelling and the living, as much as I can. And, we definitely don't live fully sustainably or perfectly at all. It's still very much in the system of, technology, and we use the internet and, still buy most of our food, even if a lot of it is local and organic. So I don't think it's about trying to be perfect. It's about, doing what you feel excited to do as well. Like I feel excited by doing all these things that we're doing here. So yeah, it kind of keeps me inspired by making films as well, like to have that kind of hand in hand, approach.
It's nearly everyone who comes on the show talks about the necessity of that, or the and the importance of that step by step, small increments, and forgiving yourself for all the bits that you're not pure in the way we live in this society. But yeah, it's all step by step, and it's all learning, and it's all praxis, isn't it? It's all theory and practice working together instead of being separate. With you, if you do a film about energy, will you focus right down on people trying alternative energy or living with alternative energy, or will you go much more systemic?
I think I'd like to go specific about what are some like accessible things that we can do, because there are bigger picture, interventions that can be made, of course, like renewable energy grids and things that we have only so much kind of control over. Whereas I'm quite interested in like resilient home systems, where if you say have access to sticks and you can cook with a rocket stove, if the power is out, or even if it's not out and you just want to cook in a more simpler, more sustainable way. And thinking about, okay, what do if we have solar panels and batteries, what's the smallest system we could possibly have, because all these technologies have impacts. And I think I'm really interested in just talking about that more of renewable energy isn't a silver bullet that's going to save the world. It's a technology that is based on fossil fuels with the mining and the production, and has its own ecological impacts and limits. And so I don't think it's realistic for most of us to, right now live without electricity. And so, okay, what's this middle ground of how do we reduce the amount of electricity we need in our lives, and then try to meet that through a combination of more advanced technologies like solar panels and perhaps wind, as well as very simple technologies like rocket stoves and rocket ovens. But I think I like talking about the big picture to provide some of the context, and then thinking about, all right, what does it look like on the ground? But I do feel quite passionate about that. That kind of debate of like, I think it's very, that's more like kind of a mainstream view of like, oh, if we just transition to renewables, things will be fine. And you can see that now with the war in Iran, people saying, oh, all this dependence on foreign oil, if we just all switched to EVs, electric vehicles, then we wouldn't have this problem. But I think, you look deeper into this stuff and it's all highly tied to fossil fuels, and there isn't enough minerals in the world to transition the whole global fleet to electric vehicles. So once you look at some of these harder truths about the situation, I think maybe, some interesting responses can come out of that at the household level too.
And I think a lot of that stuff's premised on, I want to still live like a rich Westerner, so we'll transition to fossil away from fossil fuels, but only to the extent that I can still drive whenever I want to wherever I want, soon as I want, and get my food delivered whenever I want. And it's that we don't want to change too much. But I'm looking at you there, sitting in your tiny house, and that's a major way of reducing electricity use.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's kind of the heart of the issue, is like we need to reduce the consumption of resources dramatically, because we can't have the world living Western lifestyles, consuming, whatever it is, three Earth's worth of resources. And so how do we reduce what we need? Well, how do we first look at what is a good life and what is a meaningful life? And I think that's part of what I'm sharing in what we're sharing in the films of, how do we meet our needs of being human? What are those needs? And then how do you meet them? Because if we just take for granted that yeah, we can, you know, drive wherever we want, whenever we want, and have access to the global market of cheap goods whenever we want. It's just, we're going to continue destroying the biosphere doing that. And at some point, potentially soon, those hard limits of resources, you know, we are already facing hard limits of these resources. So we're going to need to shift to a lower energy and resource lifestyle, either by doing it voluntarily or by physics and, you know, the reality of what's available in the world. So I like that term that's quite often said of collapse now and avoid the rush, or simplify now and avoid the rush, because we can kind of get ahead of a lot of these things. And I think as well, like the high consumption Western lifestyles aren't meeting so many people's needs of, you know, why is loneliness so high, depression, anxiety? You know, the system isn't even meeting our needs, and we're destroying the world doing it. So,
I think your generation is that's the what's the word? That's the zeitgeist, or that's the main fact that your generation's working with, and your generation is going to be at the vanguard of all this, because it's the completely paradigm shift already. You know, that we don't feel we need to necessarily work 50 hours a week. We don't feel we need a really large house, et cetera, et cetera. So,
absolutely. And a lot of these stories are these things are cultural, and there's social pressures that have evolved over time of, you know, expectations and things. But I also think a lot of these are almost what's the word for it, kind of like messaging from the economy or business and government, because, you know, most people don't want to work 50-hour weeks, but it's good for the economy if people are. And so and then we have a culture around working hard and working long hours, and that's what it means to be like a contributing person to society, but it's actually just serving a growth economy.
Mm-hmm. And so getting us more stuff and less human connection.
So what's the alternative to this, and what are ways that we can live outside of that and without doing it, because it's impossible to jump straight into doing something radical like that. How do we transition to doing something more aligned and lower impact and actually a higher quality of life? That's what I'm interested in exploring through these stories.
That's all we've got time for, Jordan. So thank you so much. So you've been listening to Local Food Connections on 3CR, and today we've been speaking with filmmaker Jordan Osmond about the power of documentary filmmaking to drive change. Go to Happen Films website to watch the films for free. And just before we go, how are you managing to make such beautiful, high-quality films for free?
Yeah, so a big part of that is funding from our audience, from donations, from philanthropy, small amount from people hosting screenings by buying a screening license, or watching on YouTube. There's a bit of ad revenue, but yeah, a lot of it is audience funded. And with my new venture, Folklore Pictures, trying to do it entirely audience funded, and I'm not going to have ads on any of the films, and just trying to do it entirely kind of funded by the audience. So yeah, that feels a lot more aligned than relying on ads.
So are people able to send money your way now? Is that what have you got set up?
Yeah, I've setting this up at the moment. I've got a Patreon account and getting it set up on the website. And I've got the first short film about to be released later this month with a woman who's lived without money for 11 years.
What's her name? Because I think I've just been recommended that I interview that. Is it Julie something?
Joe Nemeth.
All right. So thank you again. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks so much, Anne. Probably could have talked for another hour.
We could have. Yep. We've only got a short time on this show, but sometimes I think it means we can get to the nub of it, you know. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus, and take care of each other. Remember, if you want to support independent media, you can become a 3CR subscriber. Remember, if you want to support Jordan, and if you look at all the Happen films, you'll see that he is well worth supporting. Is it set up yet if people wanted to get onto Patreon?
Yeah, folklorepictures.com. Is live at the moment, and the Patreon is live. And
fantastic.
The first video to YouTube will be coming soon.
Fantastic. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.